Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Do you know what's going on? Do you know what motivates you? Do you know why you suffer? Do you have a clear sense of what suffering is compared to just living? Do you know what you want? These are all questions that you can answer when you've dealt with or are processing emotional repression. These are very difficult to answer when you have repression. If you can understand that the need for safety and love cuts off a lot of communication, just that. Because if I say this, it might lead to conflict. Or if I say that, I might get hurt or I might hurt them. So then basically communication doesn't happen. And then there's a sabotage of some kind, of course, because by holding ourselves back, we do that. And then there's the suffering. But it's like we'll live with a certain amount of suffering or maybe even a lot. If it means we can continue to stay safe and get love and approval. If we can just stay in the cycle without seeing exactly what's motivating us. It's really easy to miss because it's with buried emotions. So all we would see is the suffering. It's hard to pinpoint, like, until you're more conscious where it's really coming from and how in relationship it happens. But, I mean, you could sum it up if you were going to say it's just not clear communication. But there's a whole lot with that. Because communication is dependent on our emotional system entirely. There are entire emotions that are not accessible to certain people. So whatever information or insight or understanding or communication that could come from or with that emotion is not available. If you could, once you do your work, but if you could even envision it now, you could imagine that that person then, in every relationship, even if it's just one emotion that they can't feel or express, has to dodge all sorts of potential conflict and has to shut down and freeze in all sorts of situations, not be themselves, feel self-conscious or not good enough just about everywhere they go. Because of that one emotion, and nobody holds back just one emotion. Not usually. Like mine was anger, hurt. And usually it's like hurt, anger, or anger, hurt, or something like that. Sadness and hurt. And then, so there's all of that. Because each emotion is like its distinct way of communicating. In other words, without sadness, there's so much one doesn't experience about life, including like how death, there's a love in it and a deep surrender and a deep peace and acceptance that comes from grieving, from fully allowing sadness, which I've never really had a problem with at all. So to imagine not being able to have that emotion to deal with death or loss, it would be, of course, suffering. There would be more suffering in my life if I couldn't open to that. And there already was, from anger and hurt. And so do you know, because I didn't, that the emotions that we persistently feel have more to do with what we're holding back persistently. So I would feel hurt as like the go-to emotion in relationship. Just last night I was doing, instead of anger, last night I was doing this research through AI of show me every area of science and research which now says that where they distinguish between, well, they looked at any distinguishing aspects of like physical pain and emotional pain, very similar pathways in the brain. And so there were similarities found in neuroscience and psychology, all these different areas where the line between the physical and the emotional isn't really there. It's not there like we thought it was. And so when you think about that, that the system really doesn't know the difference. And so we relate to each other without being able to sense what we need to sense in order to truly, well, just to be ourselves. I mean, we can't feel all of our emotions. And so then that becomes like physical, turns into disease, as we now know from the science. So anger repression can turn into chronic pain. Hurt, sadness, anger, repression can turn into this disease or that mental health issue or that addiction. And then we treat it like a physical thing. But did you know that the very disease that you're suffering from could be right now in whole or in part produced by buried emotions? Do you know what motivates your illnesses? This is so important. Because what if, in whole or in part, they're motivated by repression? And you just don't know. I didn't know that my spinal stenosis was anger repression until I started this work. Because that's just how unconsciousness is. We benefit from not knowing, from being unconscious. It keeps us safe. The system doesn't want to know how suffering is being created. I mean, we don't want to be alerted to it because we get something from suffering. We get our needs met. We stay safe and we get love and approval, literally, like it's discoverable in your body, the programming, out of suffering, believing whatever. It keeps us safe. And we have no other real reason to do it because we really don't know what's true in the ultimate sense. So we believe what we need to, and therefore we experience only what we need to experience in relationship to survive. So that ends up being suffering because it's the survival of a separate self. And so with this line that's blurry between the physical and the emotional, we're just storing emotions that we can't express to each other. And we're creating suffering, each of us, unconsciously from that. And if we only understood that so much of it is emotional, we would have better relationships and better health in one, because they're connected. I didn't realize that my pain not only, see, because when I was experiencing this, I wouldn't have wanted to hear this. So I have to be sensitive to this, because I know how that would have landed on me. That pain and disease helps us stay disconnected from our bodies and from each other, and can even give us reasons to be like, you know, no, I can't go because my such and such is flaring up. Or last night, the reason I didn't connect back is because my back hurts. It's just, but see, that's for people who haven't even discovered that there's an emotional root, if there is, or some emotional contributing factor. And there's always an emotional contributing factor to disease, even if it's not the root, because that's just stress. And stress affects everything. And where does stress come from? From holding yourself back, not being yourself, which is a more self-regulated, natural way of being. We don't know that way of being until we process buried emotions, because we don't know ourselves. We have to be false. We have to try to get our needs met. And part of that, getting our needs met, is that we have to store emotion to be false. And then here comes the disease and the chronic pain. And when it does, we wouldn't have the slightest clue that that's part of a lifelong trauma, because we've already been unconscious to those buried emotions. So we're not looking for it. We're not looking for, hey, what disease will my buried emotions create, or what mental health? We even label it in a way that hides it, from diagnosis to just calling your suffering a shitty life. It's like, It doesn't matter because it all keeps us safe. The ruminating, the trying to understand, even because it's all somatic and experiential. Freedom, realization, healing, all somatic and experiential. It's like just knowing what you are. Nothing about the mind in that. That really isn't. I mean, the mind, in other words, it's not a mental understanding or a belief or a story. When we say you're being your authentic self, it's you finally having removed the blocks to being you. And imagine that this is what we're doing with each other. We have these energetic layers of separation between ourselves, emotional repression, and a false self with each other that creates a sense of separation. Do you feel that? We just can't be ourselves. We can't feel and express what's true. So that, how does that sense of separation dissolve? Or how is it really seen through? Is it a moment of sudden glory where all the walls have fallen down forever? To a nervous system, that's not safe. And so nobody gets that embodiment, full embodiment experience of totally ending suffering just because they recognize that there's the present moment is all there is. That's usually not what happens for people. What happens is we get, you know, we get a glimpse and then we recognize, oh shit, well, our system does. That's not safe. And it takes care of us. We don't even hear it. And the suffering comes back. And we get bamboozled again, not realizing we're just trying to get our needs met. We're trying to stay safe. And the buried emotions have us back in that contracted state. We left the retreat last week. We were open. We saw through the separation in our relationship. We came back to our relationship and started suffering. Like clockwork. Until we understand, we have to understand what motivates the suffering. What is it? As you sit here right now, do you even know? Part of it is surrendering to you don't know. Your mind might think it knows, but if you pull something up that you think, like whatever you think, and just look at that. Like the mind thinks it knows where suffering is coming from. Just look at that label or that word and say, I don't stay safe by believing that. I don't need to believe that. And then the body starts to speak if you're tuned into it. Like, for example, suffering comes from separation. And you hear that and you say, I don't need to believe that. Whatever comes up, because the body will always tell you what you need to believe. Therefore, that, trusting that body in every relationship will tell you what's motivating you. If you get skillful with the unmet needs inquiry, you discover that with everyone, you were trying to stay safe, get love and approval. In everything. And that on a spiritual path, it actually takes a level of earnestness that most people don't even understand. Because we're driven by the unconscious. And so the unconscious would pick up a practice or a teaching or a healing modality and go, this is good. Let's just bypass this. Let's just bypass this repression this way. In other words, we're going to sabotage it. We're going to procrastinate. We're not going to listen. We're going to get triggered. We're going to turn away from it. And everything is taken care of without or with our consent. That's what's really happening. Because if there was such a clear path to freedom, there would be more people who were really free. There is a clear path. It's to get to the root of suffering. But the root of suffering is making sure that we don't even know that that's what's going on. Because that's our survival. So you can play around, and I mean that, play around with processing or looking at or allowing or resting as awareness as, or looking at these identities that come through, like I'm this and I'm that. And you can see them all come and go. It doesn't make a difference. Repression is creating all that and it's buried. And you can look at that all day long, but you have to believe that. And if you don't get into the body where it says, I have to believe these identities, then you're going to keep having them because you still have to have them. Why do you have to have them? Because it meets your needs. For safety, it's safer to be not good enough than it is to feel and express authentic emotions to people. And you get love and approval by being something other than you're not. It's always been that way. We've just been so conditioned, it's hard to see. But you get benefit out of suffering. We would never have done it if there wasn't a reason, a utility. We would never have kept doing it. So when you see this, you have to look at your own path, and you don't have to, but if you do, you'll see, well, in what way am I just avoiding this? In what way am I just getting my needs met? And what's the implication? What could happen if I just go for safety from my buried emotions all the time in a bypass? Or what if I just don't ever get to this need for love and approval and I keep processing identity and this stuff and that stuff? Well, see, the thing is you shouldn't trust me because you don't need to, because the suffering comes from the repression. So you can expect more suffering, but don't make that about me. Don't kill the messenger, because if you trust yourself, you'll see it. If you could trust your experience, you'll see that when you keep regulating your nervous system, even though you feel better temporarily, you don't end the suffering. And there must be a reason. And there is, because you get your needs met out of it. By believing in the next moment that you're unlovable, you stay safe from what's buried. And then if you regulate the stuff at the surface, you get to continue to believe that you're unlovable, because the roots of that are buried. That's not something that you can just regulate through and expect miracles. Like, that's gone. No, that just left for the moment, or that's regulated. So if you take that seriously, and then of course seeking and coming back to awareness, but never going fully into the body where the trauma is that drove you there to the practice or the teaching, it's just a loop. And even the people who realize and recognize presence as their direct experience, if you still have repressed emotions, then that's going to latch onto that. And it's just going to take your embodiment process longer, because you'll be trying to get your needs met to stay safe from the buried emotions and continue to get love and approval. This is why I'm talking about needism. To bring it into the public domain, like goodism was brought by Dr. Sarno. It's all related, but needism is broader because it doesn't matter. It's not just about anger repressors. Dr. Sarno said that anger repressors fall into like the goodism category, which would be people pleasers, peacemakers, perfectionists, overachievers, non-duality and spiritual teachers. And other professions and people archetypes. But needism, it doesn't single it out to that repression. It says, if you have repression, you have unmet needs, and then therefore you're suffering. So needism calls out, without saying narcissist, it calls out how we suffer by
think if you
unconsciously trying to get our needs met.
How safe you are.
False means.
Even though it's showing up with each other.
And it sucks.
I lived not, in it.
But I was always safe.
I never got into
how we need to be to survive.
Never stirred up the buried emotions.
Emotionally.
And psychologically.
It has nothing to do with physical
my procrastination.
And then my mind would make it into a problem.
You're just not conscious enough to see it
until you're embodied
away from knowing
that it's all
that in relationship
needs.
I was actually staying and safe and getting
and the,
love
and the
and
needs are connected to the fears
not taking any
to
real
repression.
Chances and not living
so in other
the
words,
life that I wanted
you
to.
You only need love and approval for a false self.
All because
it's driven by
needs.
The emotions that you can't express.
And then being a non-duality teacher,
that's what When you hold back what's true, you're
recognizing the presence,
to but identify not with what's false.
Seeing where the inertia came from.
That's going
to
keep happening.
And then telling other people,
until you get
well, that's
to
just part of the awakening process.
Where on you some sit level, there, you don't there's going to be something. Some suffering.
No, it's not.
Even if like you're like me, you're
it's
the non-dual
the same
teacher
thing
that's
that
really good.
Other people not want to do something.
There's the anger repression.
It's repression.
And then here's the spinal stenosis.
It
just doesn't
safe.
Look like unconsciousness.
Says the unconscious body.
It
that
looks
didn't
like somebody
come
who's
into
a
awareness
teacher who's done the
good
awakening
thing. For many people.
Who's gotten love
so you don't want to tell
way.
Them
now has
that
this terrible.
This is part of the awakening that keeps them safe because.
But doesn't realize it's buried rage.
The body keeps
and
the
there's
score.
Nothing and nobody
so
around me telling
to live
either. Except for my
and
partner
enjoy life and
be honest
feel the enthusiasm of doing what you want to do
I was getting my needs met
and doing what calls you
at
like that's
what
point,
life is about
and
spiritual
a human
awakening
life,
sometimes just settles
all,
for like
oh you're in some
awakening process
aware of that.
The fact that you don't want to do anything is just part of it and there's no way out except for that your presence just be that. And don't do anything, because it's an illusion anyway.
What do you you say that to a nervous system that has a lot of repression or even some?
That's all they need to hear, because then it's like a rubber stamp. And then it's no longer procrastination or lack of enthusiasm or even apathy. It's I'm in a spiritual awakening process. No wonder people have a dark night of the soul with that kind of context. Because then you have no sense of where the ebb and flow is coming from, where it's like you have these big realizations, but then you can't move. You can't live it. You can't embody it. And then you get these spiritual pointers or explanations, which are unsatisfying in the end because they don't bring about the transformation. It just says, well, you're in it. It's going to be a dark night, but somewhere at the end of that, it's going to be good. But I don't know how to get there. There's a few people who are giving us a map. KI is not so much a map as a set of tools to accelerate the freedom process and not be blind to what motivates us. And instead to become conscious of what motivates us to suffer and take responsibility for it. That's what this is about. Is taking responsibility. I hated that my whole life. I hated people who tried to make me responsible. I bucked the system in different ways. I didn't like people who held other people accountable. And some of that is fine because that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, some of my disdain for some of that stuff, that's different than what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about when I say responsibility is if it's true what I'm saying, which is the unprocessed and the unmet needs are driving us, you could discover that in your own body and find out that it is, then we're faced with this. It's a fact. If you deny it, then it doesn't look like that. If you don't take the repression test, if you don't find out what you bury, if you just keep suffering, but you don't specifically discover the root and learn to process it, that's different. But if you know where you're at with this and you see what we're doing, you use the needs that you're already trying to get met to get free instead. Because your needs are going to tell you, oh, procrastinate so you can suffer. But KI meets that conditioning right then and says just do a little bit of that. And then you're making conscious that conditioning without resisting it, because then you'll still procrastinate. But if you bring the tool to it, you start making conscious, oh, I'm doing this to myself. This isn't happening to me. It's not my boss that makes me not want to send the email to him. It's this conditioning. It's I'm sitting here. I'm staying safe. This is what KI shows you. I'm getting love this way. I literally can't write the email. These are things that you learn. So anything else that I say to myself is a lie.
I can't, because the body has that much force behind it. I can't. That's fear. But see, if you don't know how to access the unconscious, you wouldn't hear that. So we know how to do that here. And you want that information because that unconscious is driving you. It's keeping you from writing that email by having this conditioning really buried that says no. Because you might stir up something. It's just very protective of the buried emotions. And we can't see its operating system. We only see the effects of it, that we don't write the email and that we suffer with procrastination. And then you sign up for the KI course and you procrastinate only because you didn't take the safety net tool, which is free, and turn it on the procrastination. Or if you did, you know, there's a certain amount of responsibility though that has to happen on our side. We have to earnestly want to see the root and make something conscious. If we come in here just with a need to stay safe and get love and feel better, and we're not more earnest about it, we won't see the insights that we need to see, which include, I don't want to do KI because I don't want to be free. And then we're aligned, mind and body. And then we can see why we're suffering still, why we can't end it, because we don't want to. But we have to get out of the head. We have to get into the body and see that it's driving us. When we do that, we keep our practice in the body, making this conditioning that's very buried, that demands safety and love above all else. There's no freedom or happiness or transformation or enlightenment anywhere on the agenda in the unconscious. It's single focused or very narrow focused and relentless in its pursuit of the needs by keeping emotions back. So if you don't pay attention to that, that's going to keep producing suffering, including self-sabotage on the path. This is why we're here. This is why I do an intensive, why I'm doing the jumpstart on May 18th of May here, or this month. Of course, May 18th is May. Because some people will just need help. They can't catch themselves in how the unconscious pattern doesn't want to come here and do this. And so they just disconnect from the opportunities here, or you don't notice them. There has to be some level of earnestness that goes, what's the next step here? Otherwise, I'm going to step into the same pattern. You just have to keep following those next steps until your skill becomes skillful enough that each day you see exactly what motivates you. You're seeing it from the inner body and you're processing it and you're seeing the changes. Once you're there, you get KI, trust me. It has to do with an everyday consistent practice where you see two markers. And you'll understand that later as you click on the link. But the two markers are just there to show you that you're doing it skillfully. And if you don't get them, it just means you're not. And you would stop and seek help, which come to my Jumpstart group. May 18th is the next step for people who are ready. But still, the one-on-one intensive is the best, and that's for 90 days. That's also, so you guys will see that when you do the safety net for free, you'll see these opportunities. What I'm saying is be careful that your conditioning doesn't thwart that for safety before you have a sense of understanding what's happening. Because when you go deeper into KI, all these insights light up. You see it all. That we've been driven by the need for safety, love, and approval since childhood. That's connected to repressed emotions. That's why we've been suffering. As long as those needs are driving us, there's going to be suffering. There's no way around it. The only way out is through. But then you have good tools. You can't get good tools if your procrastination or your sabotage stops you from even learning them. Makes sense? Okay. I mean, that's obvious maybe, but remember that we specialize in self-sabotage because we understand that people don't know that they need safety, love, and approval, and that that's their operating system, because we know that they believe other things to keep them safe and to get them love and approval, but they don't know about the needs. So the needs are driving them. And the first things that we show you, like the sabotage workshop, the jumpstart, is there to just help you catch that sabotage, which is really just you getting your needs met by suffering. And you'll do it in your own unique way here. You'll come here and whatever will happen. But remember that when you suffer, your conditioning is successful, that you're staying safe from buried stuff so you can continue to get love and approval as a false self. It's a hard reality, but the sooner that you align with it, the sooner you can see suffering go away, because you're not hiding it from yourself anymore. That we're here to survive, and our system does not know the difference between physical and emotional survival until you're more conscious and clear. So it just has to suffer. I hope that helps. If it doesn't scare you a little bit, it should. Because I think that a little bit of just like waking up and going, shit, I think I might be really avoiding something, can kick in some action, but you don't want to ride on the fear. You want to come here and do this work because you've looked at your life and you see a lifetime of suffering and you know you've not gotten to the root of it. And what I've said in some way resonates enough for you to take steps. If it doesn't, just keep coming back to the podcast, because it's not like I or we have the truth. But we certainly have the tools so that you can live it. And you wouldn't want to miss that. But it's easy to miss because of the unmet needs. Last point of how important this is. The need for safety alone has people listening to this podcast sometime, but not really hearing important things. And they'll come to work with me and I'll say, oh, I've said that. And they'll say, yeah, but I was doing the dishes and I was listening to you in the background. Or I do fog out sometimes and I don't rewind it. I'll just remember now, none of that's happening for no reason. Your system's keeping you safe. Rewind it. Click on the link in the description if you want to start this work for free. Come to my May 18th jumpstart. You have to go through the repression test and the free safety net to get there, so that's free. And then you'll see after that the invitation to the jumpstart. It's a 1-month group mentorship. Thank you.